Thank you, Father. I just want to share a quick testimony with you. Somebody came to me during the week, and I don't know if you're here tonight, because if you are here tonight, you could come and tell it. It's not your testimony, it's testimony of your friend. But I just thought it'd be really good to tell it, because it's just another lesson in how people actually lay hold of the things of God. So this, during one of the nights that Mike was with us, I think it might have been the Saturday night, I'm not sure which night it was, somebody who was in that meeting invited a friend, and the lady came and just thoroughly enjoyed it, invited her husband. It's your testimony. Could you come up and tell it? Yeah, I couldn't remember who told me. And so it's just a great story and a testimony.
Yeah, so a good friend and neighbour came along to Sonship Conference and got really touched, and then asked if her husband could come on the Saturday night. And Alan had broken his hand probably 3 years ago on a climb and fall, and then arthritis had set in, and he was in so much pain. He's a pilot, and he needed his left arm, and he couldn't move it like this, in so much pain, and he'd actually booked in to have surgery in January to put a plate in that was going to fix it, but he would have only been able to do this. And so he came along on the Saturday night and came up to support his wife getting prayer, and they go to an Anglican church, and he felt the anointing and just decided to ask the Lord to touch his hand. And yeah, nothing really happened except no one prayed for him. He just called on the Lord. And then a week later we were away, and then they came down last Sunday to tell us. A few days later he suddenly thought, there's no pain, what hand was it? And it's completely, yeah. And so much so that he rung the surgeon and cancelled the surgery, so.
Isn't that awesome? Came up to support his wife, felt the presence of God, felt the anointing, and just put a demand on the anointing. Said, Lord, touch me, Lord, heal me. Do something in my hand, do something. Well, I don't know what the words he said, but that was what seemed to be indicated. Nobody prayed for him. He just drew on the anointing, and God healed his hand. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that good? Let's stand and give the Lord a God bless. It's just so good. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So let's just look at how that happened. Okay? His wife came, got really touched in a gathering. You can be seated again if you like. You'll stand at least four times. And where's his exercise classes, you know? And he came in, invited by his wife, who got touched. And then obviously had enough spiritual sense, to discernment, or his spirit was sensitive, that where he actually felt the presence of God in some way. Is that correct? Felt the presence of God in some way. And then just in that moment of feeling the presence of God, just ask God to do something with his hand. Isn't that wonderful? You know? So how many times have we been feeling the presence of God, but we've never asked for anything? We felt that we needed somebody to have a word of knowledge, or we needed for somebody specifically, especially the person who's preaching, if it was Mike or somebody else, for they would to be the ones who would pray for us. But this dear man just put a demand on the anointing in that atmosphere. It reminds me of the woman with the issue of blood, who said in her heart, after no doubt hearing testimonies and maybe seeing things that had happened, whatever, it said in her heart, if I can touch his garment, if I can touch the edge of his garment, I shall be healed. And took great risk of her personal safety, actually, and pressing through the crowd until she got a hold of touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and immediately Jesus felt anointing go out of him, or virtue, the King James word, virtue go out of him. And he stopped, and amongst a very pressing, probably very intense crowd, because she had to push her way through it, get her way through it, and she put a demand or a drain or a draw on what she understood Jesus to carry. And when Jesus felt the power go out of him, how many people have ever felt the power go out of you when you've ministered to somebody and they've been receiving, they've been genuinely receiving, and you've felt the power go out of you? You wave your hand, you felt the power go out of you. And so Jesus stopped and said, "Who's touched me?" Now, the touch is not just the normal, the bump. It's not the, you know, not the jostling. It's who touched me. Who got a hold of me believing? Who touched me believing? And who goes to the Word believing? Who goes to prayer believing? Who says to this mountain, "Be moved," believing? You hear what I'm saying? And so she touched the hem of his garment, believing. And then that power, that virtue flowed out of him into her body, brought a complete correction and a healing to her inner womanly area, is what we generally understand the dear lady was suffering from, and completely stopped that flow of blood, did whatever needed to be done within her abdomen. She knew that it changed. She'd been suffering this for 12 years. And then Jesus turns to her and says, she tells him what has just happened. And he says, "Woman, go your way." Well, he calls her daughter of Abraham in one version. And go your way, your faith has healed you. And so here's this guy comes in. What's your friend's name? Alan. Alan comes in, experience, feels the presence of God, just in his heart puts a demand on the anointing. Nobody prays for him, God heals him. Amen? So let's make the most of atmospheres of his presence. Let's just not let them come and go. You know what I'm saying? But actually, think about the fact that if you're feeling his presence, you're actually feeling the presence of the creator of the universe. Wow, the creator of the universe. Steve, you've got a story. You've got a testimony. Do you want to come up and tell it? Yeah, come on up, man.
Thank you. I had a very similar experience. Yeah, I'm too short, aren't I? You should build me another little stand. I had a similar experience. It's from a few years ago, but it's one that I really enjoy remembering because it encourages me so much. So when we were in the gym, sometimes I would help put out the chairs. And if you remember those school benches, like they're 4, 5, 6 stacked together. And so quite often I would help, and I often have had in the past a sore back. And when putting them out, at the end of it, I'd be quite sore because of the stiffness and this repetitive injury in my back. And one day I was doing it, and I just thought in my head, I said, "Lord, I can't keep putting the chairs out with this sore back." Before I had finished thinking my thoughts of that sentence, my back was healed. Wow. So no, like say, no prayer, no nothing else. It's just the second, the microsecond that I finished that thought sentence, the pain in my back was completely gone.
Wow, awesome. Anybody else got a testimony in this ilk? Mayon, come on up. In this vein, okay? Because we've got lots of testimonies here. I just want ones in this vein.
Yeah. I went to Tonga with Mel.
Close to your mouth. Nice and close.
I've got a big mouth. I went to Tonga with Mel years ago, and we were just here, and were invited to a luncheon, and all the ladies sat around him. And they told us there was one lady that couldn't walk. She'd come with sticks, and I had a scarf around my neck, and they asked us to pray for her. And I thought, what do we do? We were just in there. And I thought, I'll ask her to touch that scarf, to reach up. She did, and she was healed. She walked away carrying her basket and her handbag and walked away, and everybody shouted, "God is awesome. He'll use anything."
So you had a scarf around your neck?
Yeah. Pretend this is the Lord's.
Hold the scarf up. Is that what you did? So she had to activate some dimension of faith or trust, reach up and touch that scarf.
And then she wanted to get up and touch her sticks, and I said, "No, give me an arm." She pulled my. I pulled her up, and she walked away, picked up her stuff, and walked off.
Awesome. Isn't that wonderful? Anybody else got a story in this vein? Yep, Christine, come on up. you also have to stand up on here.
Years ago when I was a young Christian, I moved to Blenheim and Eli was 3 years old. And a friend invited me to a meeting. There's a man called Stuart Grimmens coming from India. And we were in Renwick in a small hall and he was sharing about how a whole school of deaf children got healed. One came to a meeting and he prayed and the boy was healed. So the boy went back and then the next meeting all the children were there. They all got healed. And he was saying God can do the same in New Zealand as he does in India. So he said to our little group, so who here needs praise, healing? And my son Eli had one eye that was going inwards and the doctor had said to me, you need to give him glasses and the doctor will wrap a bandage around it. On the strong eye and it will force the weak one to turn right. And I thought, I don't want that happen to my beautiful little boy to be like that. So I looked at Stuart and then I went out and I said, my son needs his eyes straightened. So he said, sit down, had Eli on my knee, and he prayed for him. And there was just such a presence of authority and compassion. And, you know, this man really, he was in touch with God. So, of course, Eli's looking everywhere, so I couldn't look. I couldn't find them. But while I was sitting there, I thought, you know, I've had a very painful back since I gave birth to him. It was injured, and I couldn't sit up against a seat. And so I thought, why not? If you're going to heal my son... and I couldn't see if he was yet, but I thought, why not? So I said to him, my back is injured. I need Jesus to heal me. And he said, sit back in the chair, which was quite painful. And then he just said, put your feet up, your legs up. And he held the end, and then he prayed, and instantly I was healed. And Eli has never, ever needed glasses, ever. And his eyesight's perfect. So two major healings within a little, and just this man had this presence of God that I just thought, why not God? I want my back healed.
Yeah, no, I remember Stuart Grimmens. Yeah, very good. So you just basically, in your heart, decided, I need healing as well. And this is part of the issue, you see. Sometimes it is a decision. You've heard what's available. You've heard what Jesus has done and can do. You've heard maybe testimonies. And sometimes it just takes that bit of faith to gel in your heart and make a decision that you're just going to present yourself for the opportunity. Sometimes it is as simple as that. It really is. Sometimes we just simply overcomplicate it. We've overcomplicated prayer for healing. I believe we're coming back to the simplicity in which Jesus ministered. When you look at the way Jesus ministered to people, whether they were injured, whether they were demonized, whether they were sick, whether their friend was a long way off and they were just standing in proxy because they came, like the centurion or whoever it was, or the Syrophoenician woman, Jesus didn't say a lot. We tend to say a lot. We go through the mechanics of what's needed to be done and we go through it all. And that's where we're at the moment, probably. But I believe as the days progress ahead, with the revelation of who we are in him, who he is in us, the revelation of the authority we have in Christ, the prayer is going to get more simple and more straightforward because it's going to come out of the faith that's in your spirit. And you're going to know that there's actually authority in your tongue, and the kingdom of God is voice activated. And so you're going to know, you're just going to have a sense that you're not asking the Father to do this; He's actually sent you to do it. And He sent us to heal the sick. He sent us to cast out demons. He didn't say go and ask the Father to do it. He said go and heal the sick. Yeah, I think there's some revelations here that are going to click more for us over this next period of time. They're going to click into place for us. There's going to be, I get it. Why didn't I see that before? And so instead of a lot of complicated prayer, it's going to be healed. It's going to be blind, eyes open. It's going to be take my hand. in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. It's going to be back straightened. Whatever the case is, as the clarity and the revelation increases, the simplicity of our commands will increase. The simplicity will increase. What do you think of that? You agree with that? You got a hunch that that might be what's cooking, you know? And I saw your hand there, Alison. Is there another? Come on up here, Alison. Hold it nice and close.
Years ago, I was gardening, and David kicked a soccer ball. And as he kicked the soccer ball, I looked up, and it hit me straight in the face and cut my face with my glasses and put my neck out. And I couldn't move my neck, and my pain right down my arm. And I had read a book called How to Live Like a King's Kid. And this guy was totally crippled in a wheelchair, and God had completely healed him when they said he never would be healed. But it was an amazing story. And anyway, I was sitting in bed and I had this pain. I said to Lord, God, Lord, you healed Harry's back. His name was Harry. You healed Harry's back, and it was much worse than mine. So could you please put my neck back into place? And my head went like this. Yeah. And that was it. And it was
suddenly your head just
went like that. And my neck was back in place. My pain went out of my arm, awesome. and I was healed.
Awesome.
So, awesome. And I also had a healing of my back. I was looking after a little disabled kid, and my back was so bad. And I said to the Lord, God, I need you to heal my back. And he just healed that too. I said, I can't look after this little boy. He couldn't move. I had to lift him for everything. And God healed my back as well. So God's been really great at healing me.
Isn't that awesome? I love that flick of the head one. I can just kind of imagine an angel go, okay. Isn't that awesome, eh? Isn't that awesome? Vicky, come on up.
We're on a roll. When Wes shared about Eyes Be Open, I remember being on a YWAM outreach in Albania, and we were in a village. If you look at Lake Pogradec, there's a little peninsula called Lin or Lini. It's L-I-N-I. And half of the village is Muslim and half of the village is Christian. What's interesting is the Muslim side is really dry and desert, and the Christian side has a spring and is full with flowers and trees. But anyway, we ended up in the Muslim side because we wanted to go to one area, and the children follow you everywhere. And there was this one boy who was being led by his older brother, and he was blind. And they brought him up, and we just felt to pray for him. And we thought, Lord, what are we praying? He just said, ask me to open the eyes. So we just said, in the name of Jesus, eyes open. And his eyes opened, and all these kids screamed. We hadn't realized this 9-year-old boy had been born blind.
Wow, isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Yeah, fantastic. You got a story? Sorry? Come on up.
So one day you were playing outside, and what happened?
You need to hold it nice and close for you.
Okay.
So I was kicking my ball, and I went over the fence, and then I prayed for someone to throw it back over, and then I waited a couple of seconds, and then someone's throwing it back over, and again, and I'm like, thank you.
Straight away.
Very good. Very good. Excellent. That's a good story. I like that story. Next time I'm throwing a ball around, I'll keep that in mind. Yeah. Very good. So, isn't that cool, eh? Isn't that cool? Anybody else? Just right now. Yeah. Very good. What's your name?
My name's
Robin Jane.
Robin Jane.
Robin Jane.
Yes.
Robin Jane. How are you? Hold the microphone nice and close.
I was on a work call to another person in another part of New Zealand, and at the end of the call I said, anyway, how are things? And she said, oh, not very good, because my daughter, who's more than 40, is going to have a baby. It's her first baby. And when they scanned the baby, there's no insides, and I'm really worried. So I just said, would you like me? I was really worried.
No, she had
no insides. It didn't have any insides in its
organs.
Yeah. So it wasn't right when they scanned it. So I said, would you like me to pray? And this is a lady who didn't know God. And she said, yes. And so I just said, I command everything to come back into that baby the way it should be and for the baby to be normal. And I didn't hear from her for about 3 years. And when I heard from her again, we talked about the business we had to do. And then I said, anyway, how were things? How's that? How's your daughter? She said, oh, my daughter's fine and my grandchild's 3 now and he's perfectly normal. Oh, you were 2.5 or whatever he was, you know. It was just completely normal. And I go, yes, that's awesome.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Oh, let's go on a roll, eh? Let's stay on a roll. Anybody else got a good testimony? Oh, come on, Noah.
This is a real recent one. I drop my grandson off to preschool every morning, and one of the preschool teachers there, ladies there, was very excited and told me that she was pregnant. And so that was good news. A while later, she came up to me. This is a number of days later. She came up to me, and she was quite distraught because they'd had scans and blood tests, and they were told that the baby was Down syndrome, and would they like to abort the baby? And she said, absolutely not. So that was just quite devastating for her and her husband, and she's newly married. And I just speak words of faith, as I do, and I just said, the Lord Jesus Christ can put everything back together in your baby. And so I said, can I please just lay hands on you and pray for you? And I said, and this is what you do every day. And you just declare the goodness of the Lord over your baby. You declare wholeness over your baby, that there is nothing missing and nothing broken. So fast forward, just the other day, I went in there and she said, the doctor, the specialist that she was under, said in 40 years he has not seen a reversal of what has taken place and her baby is perfectly normal.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. Just because somebody says something's genetic doesn't mean it can't be totally changed. Okay? You got that? If somebody says it's genetic and that's really intimidating because you think genes are fixed and all that, that's what we used to believe in terms of the general flow of life. They know it's actually not the case now anyway. That's, isn't that awesome? God actually healed that little baby's genes. Wow. Sorry? Come up, you need to come back.
Even the specialist was amazed. He said he had never seen that before. So it's like, woohoo. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you've got to speak words of faith and you've got to believe. You know, and you believe that. You've just got to stand on the promises of God. You know, and it's like, I don't know why it doesn't happen all the time. But I know that God isn't a liar. And that his word is truth. And so it's like you have to set your face like a flint, you know, and simply believe. So that you simply believe. And it's like you stand and you're not moved, regardless of the circumstances. No, I'm going to stand. No, I'm going to stand. And this is what I'd say to her. I'd say, no, you stand. I mean, because when you're looking down the barrel of a shotgun, you know, it's like you need to hold on to something, you know, and we need to hold on to truth, because truth will remain. So we stand.
Very good. Whatsoever things you say when you pray, believe that you've received them and you shall have them. Mark 11, 24, 23 and 24. Yeah,
I love it.
Yep. And
so it's like we speak to the mountain and it shall be moved and cast into the sea and it shall be no more. So it's like we've got a part to play. We have to speak. So as you said, it's like we have what we say, we cannot be denied. So whether you're speaking good or evil, and I love in Deuteronomy concerning the blessings and the curses, I mean, that's very relevant for today. If we're going to speak curse, if we're going to curse and be negative, just this negative talk coming out of your mouth constantly, well, it doesn't actually even have to be constant because you have what you say. So it's like once you get a hold of that, because I used to live my life on a roller coaster ride. I used to constantly want to die. I just wanted to die constantly. I got delivered from that. And that was a physical, like, oh my gosh, chains went crack, boom. It was like two of us heard chains break. Wow. Two of us. Wow. The pastor that prayed for me, the lady that was assisting in my deliverance, and that she never heard it, but the pastor and I both heard it. And it was this almighty crack. That's the only way I can describe chains being broken. It was physical but spiritual. And it was like, because I found it very hard to be delivered from a spirit of death. And you know, when I was in the deliverance session, it was like I began to laugh and mock. And it was like, it wasn't me. And so the pastor stopped and said, explain to me what is going on. I said, I know it's wrong, but I can't let it go because if I let it go, I haven't got anything to hold on to. I was holding on to a wrong belief. And so that for me was my security because of the position that I was in back then. And so he said, tell God what you've just told me. Well, basically, as it rolled out of my mouth, he intervened, boom, he just stepped in and broke the chains, boom, delivered, set free. And I've never had that again. It tried to come around me. It was like it tried to come back. And it walked into the room. This may sound a bit unusual, but the spirit of death walked into the room because an incident took place, what would normally throw me into wanting to die. And I pointed at it and said, oh, no, you don't. You have no authority over my life. In Jesus' name, get out. And that was it. Wow. So it's like we have what we say. If we're speaking words of death, we're attracting death. If we're speaking words of life, we're going to attract life and godliness and holiness. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Yeah.
Amen. Very good.
Amen. Is that good? Yeah. Okay. I think.
Kingdom of God is voice activated. Yeah. So is the kingdom of darkness. Yeah. 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 That old saying, speak of the devil, well, there was actually truth in it.
Yeah. I mean, we were tormented as children when we moved to a new district. And, you know, my parents split up when I was 10. And, you know, that was devastating enough. But then we moved towns. And the place that we bought, you know, you talk about the haunted house. I was raised in a haunted house. And, you know, what we understand now is spirits. And that, so, you know, it was nothing for me as a child to have, you know, go out into the kitchen in the middle of the night because I'm hearing the cupboard doors opening and closing and slamming and carrying on and people walking up and down the hallway that weren't there. And, you know, I mean, that was my childhood. That was my life. And that, and I hated it. It was like, so I lived in a constant, I was in constant fear. And we didn't know about our God-given authority. You know, I mean, I got born again at 10 years old, but I had no understanding whatsoever about kingdom authority. And that came years and years later. You know, and it was like, I mean, years later, probably in my 30s, even 40. It's like, honestly. And then I felt really ripped off and thought, well, what have I been taught all these years? You know, and you do. You kind of think, well, what have they been teaching me? What have I been sitting under? You know, and it's like, so I'm so thankful to be in a strong, apostolic, prophetic church that allows the Spirit of God to move and that we're speaking words of truth and it's, you know, and seeing captives set free. You know, and the word of testimony, honestly, it's like people even now, sorry, I'm taking a liberty, because I'm feeling this
30 more seconds.
I'm feeling the Spirit of God that as we're even giving testimony that people are starting to be touched by the Holy Spirit right now, and that bodies, because I'm feeling the Spirit of God come upon me, and it's I'm feeling the Spirit come all over my head. So where there has been confusion and torment, God is breaking that off your life right now in Jesus' name. So I take...
Stand up if that's you. Experiencing torment, just stand up now.
So I just take authority right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I take authority over every tormenting spirit right now. I bind you in Jesus' name, and I command you to get off their minds right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I declare peace over your mind. I declare truth over your mind right now in Jesus' name, that when you lay your head down on the pillow, that you will be given God-given dreams and visions in the night and in the day. Father, I thank you right now for these ones that they will not suffer torment anymore in their sleep, Father, that they will be not, that they will not be afraid. I break that spirit of fear off you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father.
Just put a demand on that anointing that's here right. Just put a demand on that anointing that's here right now in Jesus' name. A demand on that anointing right now. Yeah, that's right. Just lady in the pink jacket here, just lay hands on your friend here in Jesus' name. Just tell it to go. Tell the torment to go. Just tell the torment to go. That's right. Tell it to go. Get a couple of people to stand around Steve here right now. Just a couple of people. That's right. Kathy, you guys. Yeah, just tell that spirit of torment to go. Tell it to go now. In Jesus' name. And this dear lady over here. That's right. That's right. Out you go. Out you go now. Torment go. Thank you, Father, right now. Anybody else over here? These guys, just get Lindsay and Debbie and Janet and Ken, just get around, that's right, get around these guys. Just command the torment to go. Command the confusion and the torment to go. Thank you, Father, right now. That's right, that's right. Thank you, Father. Just exercise your mouth. Your mouth is connected to your spirit. Just command the torment to go. For this dear lady down here, just command the torment to go right now. Those of you, get aggressive. Get some attitude, like a dog in your backyard threatening your kids. You don't speak nicely to it. You tell the thing to go on no uncertain terms. Thank you, Father. Well, I would. Beat the pus out of the thing with a stick. Yeah, thank you, Father. You're okay? Yeah, bit of help there. That's good. Awesome. Just keep ministering over here. All right. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now, you had a testimony? Babies. Just come on up here.
Babies. So babies, we mentioned babies. And when I was up north in Auckland, I did a meeting or two, and we prayed. I just got another message the other day. I had no idea that this had happened, but the woman asked for prayer because her son-in-law was stuck in quarantine because, and they wanted them back here with the baby and the mum. And I was like, the baby? And she goes, oh, yeah, after you broke Freemasonry and prayed for my daughter to break that off of her so that she could have a baby, she got pregnant within a few weeks, and he's, like, now nearly three. And I was like, wow, okay, that's great to know, you know. So, yeah.
Be encouraging to know that earlier, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would have been, but, hey, you know. So, yeah, babies, God's speaking about babies and wombs and women having more babies.
Yeah, yep. More baby? Anybody want more babies? I see some of you shaking your head, very definitely. Anybody in a situation where you're trying for a child, but you haven't been able to have a child yet? Haven't been able to become pregnant yet? Yeah. It could be very revealing, but no, nobody? That's okay. Steve? Yep. So round two. Ding, ding.
Yeah. It's amazing how a word will prompt a memory, and it's a story about babies. I was on a job doing a subdivision for a client, and I was talking to the contractor, and of course the end of it, hey, great, thanks very much, how are you? And he says, oh, my wife has just had another miscarriage. And I said, well, I'm really sorry about that. I said, look, I'm a Christian, you know, I believe that God can turn that situation around for you, can I pray for you? that your wife would conceive. So first thing I got is permission. And he said, yes, that's great. So I prayed for him. I prayed specifically. And it was a step of faith for me that within the year they would have a baby, a live birth baby, and that they would have the children that they wanted. That was the last meeting on the job. I did not see him for a number of years. And anyway, lo and behold, another job came up. He had shifted firms and he was the contracts rep on that particular job. And as soon as I met him, he said, I have two children. Mm. And the first one was born within that year that I prayed.
Mm. Do you know, I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of these things, a lot of this ministry and this prayer did not happen on a Sunday meeting. In the streets, in the job places, on the mission trip. Did you notice that? Yeah. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that cool? Nico, God bless you, man.
You can stand up here and be taller than me.
A couple of years ago, I was at work, and one of my friends came to me and he said to me, will you mind to pray for my wife because she's got a cataract on one eye? And I said, yeah, no problem. And he said, well, there's one snag. She came with me to work and she's waiting in the lobby. And I thought, okay, that's fine. And I looked at my watch and I saw, well, I've got about 17 minutes before my next meeting. So I ran down to the lobby and she was sitting in a secluded area. And she said to me, you know, one eye's got a lens implant and that's a strong eye. And the other eye is really blurry. And obviously they've got a specialist appointment at 11 o'clock. So I put my left hand on her shoulder and prayed for her. And after the first prayer, there was no difference. And I said, well, let's go again. You know, in the second prayer, I obviously commanded her to leave. She said to me, wow, this is amazing. She said, the eye that's got the lens with the cataract is better than the other eye. So I said to her, okay, well, Jesus is so amazing. Why don't we pray and get him to fix the eye with the lens implant to be the same as the one that just got healed? She said, sure. And next prayer, literally exactly that happened. Wow. It was perfect. And for the rest of the day, my left hand had like a goosebump glove. And it stayed there for the whole day. I hoped it stayed for the next day, but it left. But the amazing thing was that 12 o'clock, my phone went crazy. And she came back from the eye specialist. And the eye specialist said to her, well, there's no sign for a cataract. Your eyes are absolutely amazing. Come back in 5 years for a checkup. Awesome. So praise God.
Awesome. Excellent. Stay here, Nico. Stay here, mate. Stay here. Another one at work, right? Yes. At work. Yes. Right. Anybody got cataract issues? Right. How about you come up here? Nico's going to lay hands on you. And get a few people up behind you as well. Engage, just a few people come up behind. In fact, one person behind each one, okay? And Nico's just going to go and lay hands on you, all right? Vilma, are you the cataract, or are you going to help pray? Okay, sorry? Yeah, totally you can, absolutely. Right. Thank you, Father, right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We've got quite a few here, haven't we? Yep, that's right, Nico. Just go for it. God bless you. Thank you, Father, right now. Right now. We just thank you, Lord, for the lift of faith as we've been sharing testimonies of your power and of your goodness, Lord, your greatness. Lord, we just thank you for the faith just rising in the room. Faith to lay hold, faith to receive in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We just engage your spirit. We engage your presence. We engage your spirit right now. We just thank you, Lord, for your power coming upon every person in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Just stretch out your hands. If you haven't already, just stretch out your hands to these dear people. And thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Who knows, you might be driving past them tomorrow and you'll be wanting them to see. Okay. Hallelujah. That's right. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's just pray in tongues a bit. Just keep the atmosphere built in the Spirit. Let's just keep building in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Sometimes things happen overnight, don't they? Going to just to spend a couple of minutes in the Word, and then we're going to pray, and then we'll release you, because I know that it's now time has pretty moved on. Hey, wasn't that encouraging? Those testimony, and mostly in the workplace, isn't that, or the some place that wasn't in a Sunday meeting? I believe in healing in a Sunday meeting, absolutely, absolutely. But what really thrills me more is when people are moving in just who they are in Christ, and with the understanding, the revelation, the authority, and the faith they have in the marketplace. There's been no worship team following them. There's been no build up. There's been no this, no that. It's who they are in Christ, who Christ is in them, reaching out to somebody. And some dimension of faith. That's absolutely awesome. That is exactly the deal. Got a Bible with you. Briefly turn it to Romans chapter 8. We're just going to cover this off in that sense. I just want to encourage you with something. And then we'll release you for the night. Whatever that means for you. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. One of my favorite stories. When Jesus entered the village of Capernaum or Capernaum, a captain of the Roman army approached him, asking for a miracle. Lord, he said, I have a son who was lying in my home, paralyzed and suffering terribly. Jesus responded, I will go with you and heal him. But the Roman officer interjected, Lord, who am I? In other words, who am I, a Gentile, a Roman, that you... to have you come into my house. I understand your authority. This is what's implied. And this is how Dr. Brian Simmons translates it. I understand your authority, for I too am a man who walks under authority and have authority over soldiers who serve under me. I can tell one to go and he'll go, and another to come and he'll come. I order my servants and they'll do whatever I ask. This man understood authority. So I know that all you need to do is to stand here and command healing over my son, and he will be instantly healed. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Jesus was astonished when he heard this and said to those who were following him, he has greater faith than anyone I've encountered in Israel. Ooh-hoo. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Multitudes of non-Jewish people will stream from the east and the west to enter into the banqueting feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the heavenly kingdom. But many Israelites born to be heirs of the kingdom will be turned away and banished into darkness, where there will be bitter weeping and unbearable anguish. Jesus turned to the Roman officer and said to him, go home. All that you have believed for will be done for you. And his son was healed that very moment. I want to tell you, my friends, we can go out into the world. We can go out into our situations knowing that we're people of authority. Because first and foremost, we've submitted to the Father. We've submitted to Jesus. That's where spiritual authority begins. It begins by submitting to Jesus, by submitting to the Father, being submitted to his word. Having a submissive heart to the Lord is where authority begins. When you submit your heart to the Lord and you come into that heavenly authority flow, then and as you yield your life to Him and yield to the Word of God and embrace the Word of God for your life, then an authority, an understanding of authority, starts to build in your life. And then as you're led by the Spirit and as your faith is activated, you will speak to this, you will speak to that, and it will do as you've said, because not because you're a lone ranger or a loose cannon, but because you're submitted to the kingdom of God. You're submitted to the Lord Himself. You're submitted to the Father. You're submitted to the Son. You're submitted to the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, my friends, if you want authority in your life, and we all do, the way to authority is the way of submission to the Lord. The way of submission to the Lord. If the Lord can't command us, why on earth would we think we can command something else? I'll say it again. If the Lord cannot command us, how on earth do we think that we can be ones who are in command of demons or in command of sickness or in command of disease? It doesn't work, but it all flows from the Father. It all flows from the Father through the Son, by the Holy Ghost, through His Word, into us. And as we stand in that authority yielded to Him, your voice will carry an authority of heaven. It's how it works. Jesus demonstrated this so powerfully. The Roman centurion understood it. He understood it from his own authority structure. An authority structure that actually did a lot of damage to people. But nevertheless, he understood the flow, and he recognized Jesus was in a heavenly flow, and he might have had authority over soldiers, but Jesus had authority over demons, over sickness and disease. And all Jesus had to do was speak. Just like all he had to do in his realm of authority was to speak, and his will would be done. He understood, he saw that in Jesus. Here's the deal though. That authority that Jesus carried because of his alignment with the Father is the same authority that you and I can come into if we will align our lives with the Son. And with the Word made flesh, we will align our lives, authority will flow. Let's all stand tonight. See, I can do it quick. I was practicing.